It's good to be in God's house again this evening. In the Yellowstone National Park, there are grizzly bears. And those grizzly bears would eat off of the trash piles that people would throw food and all on. And this had been when they still allowed them to do that. And so as you know what a grizzly bear is, and you know how intimidating they are and how mean they are, there's not hardly an animal that will mess with them. But as they go to those trash piles and eat out there at Yellowstone, there is an animal there that will eat with them, that they will allow to have part of their food as they're eating. Children, which one of you would want to venture a guess as what animal that would be? Have any idea? Must be a big lion or a... What could it be? Anybody have any idea? Yes. A what? Nope, not a gorilla. Yes. Nope, not a porcupine. Are we out of guesses? Nope. Back there. Yes, you. Nope. You got it. The skunk. Do you think a skunk could actually beat up a grizzly bear? Who thinks a skunk could actually beat up a grizzly bear and eat him? I don't. I don't think that. But what do you think a skunk can do to a grizzly bear? What do you think? Say it. And make it really stink, right? So this grizzly bear knows his limits, right? And so can you imagine the grizzly bear is sitting or they're eating, and this little pesky animal is there that he could take one bite of, and that animal would be dead. But the gorilla is not willing to take that kind of a risk. What did I say? Gorilla. Where's my fact checker from last night? There, the grizzly bear is not willing to take the risk for the reward, okay? Because he would regret it. So as much as he hates having that little pesky animal eating beside him, he just goes ahead and leaves that little pesky animal alone because he knows the high cost of getting even. Well, tonight I want to speak about overcoming the root of bitterness and some of the things that could cause bitterness in our lives. And I think as we think of what a grizzly bear is and how powerful they are, they know their limits, and animals are not dumb. But sometimes we as humans, we do some pretty bad things as far as the decisions we make, because the results that we get are not worth the reward or the consequences. But so often in the heat of the moment, in the heat of the battle, we don't take time to stop and to think of what that result could be. If you want to turn in your Bibles, I just want to briefly read in 2 Peter chapter 1, and I want to read verses 2 through 11. Actually, we'll start at the beginning there. 2 Peter chapter 1, and he says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, and then here he's talking about you and I, to those who have been ordained, who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he's talking to a group of believers who have obtained righteousness through Jesus Christ, nothing of our own. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I'll just pause there just a little bit. We have the power, we have the strength through Jesus Christ to overcome these battles that we face. When we look at people who know not God, the people who have not made that commitment to Jesus Christ, and you see some of the foolish and the terrible things that they do, and you wonder why, we have to just give a little bit of stop and pause and think, and it's because they don't have the power that you and I have. And it's not the power that is just of us, but it's Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit moving and working through us. Verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and the election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And tomorrow night we'll talk about what that entrance will be like of entering into that glorious kingdom that God is preparing for us even now. But verse 10, he says, therefore, because of all of these things that you have allowed God to work in your life, he says, therefore, brethren, be more diligent to make your call and election sure. Then it says, if you do these things, you will never stumble. Would that not be great if we would never have to concern ourselves with ever stumbling? We would never have to go back and say, you know what, I really messed up. I'm really sorry what I did to you. But when that happens, when we're having to go back and make those apologies, it's because we didn't follow the guidelines. We didn't follow the steps, what he lays out here in this short chapter here. But tonight again, as I said, I want to looking at the how we can overcome bitterness, and then looking at some of the things that can cause us to become bitter. And it's a dangerous plague for healthy Christian living. It will eat away at your spiritual life if you have bitterness in your life and it just keeps eating at you. What can we do if we have someone that has wronged us? Because if no one would ever wrong me, then I would never have any reason to have any type of bad feelings, any type of bitterness, to hold anything kind of a grudge against someone. But that happens. People do wrong us. And as long as life will last, that will happen to us. We can never get to a point in this life to where there will not be people who wrong you. Last night we talked about in the children's class about the words that we use, the way we treat people. And that can often happen in each one of our lives, that if we're not careful, we say something and we shouldn't have said it, or we say something and we say it in the wrong way. And we can cause someone else to really just step back and they can take offense at it. Should they take offense at it? Well, probably not. But should you have said it? Well, no. So we can learn from our mistakes even, and then moving forward. And aren't you thankful, aren't you grateful that God is a gracious God? He is a forgiving God. But God, he forgives us when we repent. He has forgiven us, actually, all of our transgressions. All we have to do is admit that we were wrong, and his forgiveness is there. In Ephesians 4:32, we alluded to that last night, about being kind to tenderhearted and forgiving one another. So in order, again, for you to be able to forgive somebody, that person, that somebody has to have done you wrong. And that will happen. That does happen. And so it's not like we can say, well, we just somehow figure out where people don't do us wrong, then we don't have to worry about all these other things. That won't happen in this life. We have to learn how to deal with people that come at us when they say the wrong thing, when they treat us in a wrong way. Hebrews 12:14 says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and be holy. Make every effort to live in peace. That means that takes work. That means you have got to be deliberate. When you get up in the morning, you have got to think of how you're going to direct your life for that day. That means that you have to decide that day what you're going to do with the people that might come against you. That means that that morning when you get up, you know you're going to meet some people that are going to turn, hit you the wrong way. You know, just you just wish you wouldn't have to meet up with that person today. But that's always going to happen, that you will have someone at times that you know you got to meet up with. And what are you going to do with what? It's up to you what you do with your reaction to how that person is going to treat you. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and to defile many. That bitter root, that is a terrible thing to deal with. It's a terrible thing to deal with even in my own life when I'm not willing to admit that it's in there. When I'm willing to just say, well, I'm not going to talk about it, but I'm just going to avoid that person. I'm just going to go the other way. It doesn't fix it. We still have to deal with that thing every day because it'll be on our mind. It'll be on our mind. So tonight we want to look at three things of regarding bitterness. First, I want to look at what some of the causes are, and this by no means is going to be inclusive, all-inclusive, but it will just be some of the things that I've thought of and in studying and what can happen in our lives in the interactions we have with other people. And then the other thing I want to look at is the results of bitterness that we allow in our lives. And then the third one I want to look at is overcoming the root of bitterness and overcoming those things that people do against us. Some of the causes of bitterness can be your parent or parents. And it would be so interesting if I could sit down and I could talk with every one of you. And every one of you will have a story. Every one of you has a story. And every one of you could probably tell me things that your parent or parents did wrong. I don't think we're excluded. I don't care how good of a parent you had. It's just the way it is. You know, our parents, they're real young when they have children. You know, when they first have children, and we all know how it is when we've had children. It's when you have that first child, it's like it does not come with an instruction manual. And so you have to figure out as you go how to make this system work with having this child in my home. So we can be embittered against our parents for failing us, or maybe just not having been there. And I look at my own life, and I look at how my relationship was with my dad, and I didn't have an abusive dad. I didn't have a dad that was ugly to me, but I would say more my dad would have been one that maybe he was more detached, and as I look back, I was the youngest of 10, and we didn't have a lot of money. We didn't have a lot of wealth, so his concern, as you can think about it, of dealing with a family of 10 children and trying to figure out how to make a living, and then trying to figure out how to have a decent relationship with each one of those children. And then he even had his own issues that he had to deal with in his life that he was trying to figure out just of his own struggles. And so in that, you add those things together, and it comes up to someone who maybe just doesn't reach out for their child the way they could have. Do I have reason to be bitter? Well, maybe. But I look at my dad, and I look at me being the youngest of 10. I feel like I had a different dad than my older siblings did. Because, again, as my older siblings were born, and I came along, and I was the youngest, I think he looked back and realized, you know what? There's some things that I could have done a lot better. There are some things that I even did wrong that I can do a lot different. And so I often said I feel like I had a different dad than my older siblings did. But there were still things that I look back and like, I could have had bitterness over it, and I did. And I had to come to a point in my life where I had to lay that down because it was eating me alive. I'm ashamed to even say it, but it's part of my story. But it was even to the point to where he lived next to us, and he was self-sufficient, but he was always around. And even this horrible thought would come to mind, is like, I wonder how long he's still going to live. Can you imagine having a thought like that about your own parent? I did. But yet, I thank God by his grace that he convicted me and that I was able to take and lay that down and confess it as sin before the Lord. And you know, the amazing thing is that I never said anything to my dad that I was sorry for treating him that way. But what I did is I started treating him different. And in the space of 2 to 3 weeks, that man's countenance changed. And nothing changed except his little boy started treating him different. That happened probably 3-4 years before he passed away of a heart attack. And I've often looked back and said, if I would not have done that, what would I deal with today in my life of knowing that I should have changed the way I do, of knowing that I could have treated him different and I didn't? And I think there's a lot of people that deal with those kind of regrets, that when that last breath is gone from a loved one, there is no more going back to that person. There is no more that you can do to make up for lost time. So I thank God that he shows us. I'm thank God that he gives us these our conscience to where it convicts us. And then if we're willing to listen to it, that we can change and we can make things better. I've often said, I look back, and there's one regret that I have, and that is I wish I would have taken my dad to Jake's Diner just a few more times before he died for lunch. Well, you know, when I look back on that, that's not a regret, because every one of you, when you lose your parent, you will look back and you will say, you know, I could have done this yet. I just wish I would have done this yet, because I know he really loved this. But that's not a regret. It's just one of those things you look and like, when that last breath is gone, it makes you think of things you could have done. And that'll always be that way. But those are not regrets. Those are just things the way life is. Let me move on. Another area of something that can cause us bitterness is people who treat us in a disparaging way. It could be coworkers, it could be friends, it can be your siblings, it can be brothers and sisters in the church. Maybe people who are passing out lies about you, or maybe half-truths. Maybe they're saying things about you that maybe are true, but they don't need to be said. Maybe there are things that people are saying about you that they've just misconceived who you are. Or they maybe heard you say something and they misunderstood what you actually meant. And you can let that fester and you can let that you know, we've all felt that, haven't we? But you know, there's one thing about it. As you live your life for the Lord, as you get up each morning, as you say, God, today I am going to serve you. Today I want to see where I can fit in to your kingdom. I want to see where I can blend my life into your will. When you can do that in a perfect way, there's nothing that anybody can say to you that is going to distract you. If we can get that perfect, but we won't probably ever get it just perfect. But the one thing you often hear is people will sue other people for character assassination. Did you know what? There is no one that can destroy your character except one person. That's you. That's the person that I sleep with, me. I'm the only one that can destroy or ruin my character. Now, you can ruin my reputation, but you cannot ruin my character. My character is who I am. My character is what my relationship is with Jesus Christ. My character is how I act when no one's watching. But my reputation, you can talk bad about me and other people could believe you, and that could actually hurt or even maybe destroy my reputation, but it will never destroy my character, because my character is something that I determine. What about being bitter towards God for allowing things to happen in my life? Things that I wish would be different, things that I wish wouldn't have happened, or things that didn't turn out the way I would have liked them to have turned out. What about in your life? What about when maybe you have parents who split up, you come from a broken home. Maybe you have a parent who died at a premature age. Maybe you had a dysfunctional home. All of these things can add to this whole thing of, this just angers me. You know, we all face those. We all face those kind of things. Another cause of bitterness can be those in authority over us. And there's not a one of you sitting here tonight, including no one, I mean, including everyone, that does not have others that are in authority over you. We all have it. But there's times that those in authority, whether it's in the church, whether it's in the home, whether it's in the government, whether it's on the highway with the highway patrol, we have to come under authority. And there's times that those in authority don't treat us the way we deserve to be treated. They don't treat us the way we should be treated. They make mistakes. They do wrongs. And it's easy to blame others when I do wrong, when I respond wrong. It's because of what you did to me. But how willing am I to say, you know what? The way you treated me was not right. The way that person treated me, the way they did me over here, it wasn't right. But it's up to me what I decide to do with my reaction. When I'm not willing to take full responsibility for my own life, I will have the result of bitterness creeping in. How about this one? Taking up offenses that are not your own. Have you ever done that? Someone might tell you of a story of someone else who harmed them, and they tell you their side of the story, and you take up a third-person offense, something that you were not all involved in. You know, a third-person offense, you can't fix it, because it had nothing to do with you other than the fact that the person who was offended came to you. And now you've taken up that same offense that person that was offended has. But it has nothing to do with you. That's a hard one. And there's none of us that likes to see our friend get hurt. And so as much as I would like to say that I'm totally unbiased, every one of us, we become biased in certain situations when it involves relationships with those that are close to us, and they get hurt, they get harmed. We become biased, even as much as we think that we're not. But don't take on a third person offense. Bitterness is allowing or giving opportunity for a wrong or a perceived wrong to fester and to grow. It's like taking and drinking a bottle of poison and hoping the other person will die. It's not going to happen. You cannot drink poison and expect the other person to die. You know what's going to happen. It's going to affect you. You're going to be the one that suffers from that. That's what bitterness does. How many times have you heard someone say that? Well, you have no idea how bad he hurt me. You have no idea what she did to me. Could I clue you in a little bit? And in saying that, I don't even minimize the hurt and the pain that we have felt from some of the things that have gone in our lives, some of the wrongs that have been committed to you. But look at Jesus hanging on a cross. What did he do to deserve that? Nothing. But he was willing to make that one sacrifice for all. That one sacrifice that is good for all of eternity, for the remission of sins. If we just come to him, we accept it. And we say, Lord, I'm yours. You take my life and you lose my life. Oh, what would it look like if we could get that right? If we could get that right to where I can look at you, I can look at anyone in the world, and I'm like, there is nothing short of nothing that you can do to me to distract me, that you can turn me from the right or from the left, but I'm going straight on. But I think when we get distracted, it's because we forget about that man called Jesus hanging on the cross and giving his life physically. That's what he did for you. That's what he did for me. Well, some of the results of bitterness, one is it gives the devil a foothold. It gives the devil an inroad into my life. It burdens me down, it clouds my senses, and it causes me to behave irrationally. It causes me to behave stupidly sometimes. Sometimes I hesitate to use that word, but it does. You see people do some really, really bad things, and you look back and it's like, there's something going on in their life. There's something that is going on there that they're not willing to come to grips with, and they do really crazy things. It can cause sickness. Proverbs 14:30 says, a heart at peace gives life, but envy rots the bones. And I think with that envy, that you can put bitterness right in there. Bitterness will eat you alive. It will eat your lunch and it'll eat your supper. And when you wake up the next morning, it'll be right there again and you'll be hungry. You still will be burdened down with it if we don't do something with it. It allows someone whom I don't like. I'm not even going to say I hate him, but I just don't like him. It allows that person to control my life. It allows me to carry a grudge. It allows me to say, if Arlen's going to treat me that way, I'm not going to give him the pleasure of my company. I'll just not hang out with him. I won't talk to him. And you know what usually so often is the sad thing about that? Is that person that I'm not going to give the pleasure of my company to doesn't even realize that I'm doing that to him. So who's it affecting? This guy right here. That's what bitterness does. It causes you to do things that are just they don't make a lick of sense. It causes me to walk on the other side of the road in town or walk on the other side of the street when I see someone coming. Like, no, I'm not going to let them pass by me because of what they did to me. And they might not even know that they did anything to harm you, but you're watching out. And so it's consuming you. It's taking your life. It's taking the vitality that you have. It's wearing you out. It's making you an old person. No matter how long you nurse a grudge, it won't heal. Grudges don't heal. You've got to lay them down. Bitterness can cause me to flounder and to struggle with the same issues over and over. No victory. It causes one bad situation just to segue into another bad situation. It clouds my thinking. I cannot think straight because I'm consumed with this bitterness. Hebrews 12:1 tells us, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and there it's talking about these heroes of faith in the previous chapter, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You think you're going through something? And I hesitate even to say this, but you think you're going through something, you're not going through anything compared to what our Lord and Savior went through. And I say that not wanting to minimize the things that we go through, the things that are so hard in life to deal with sometimes. But Jesus, he knows exactly what we're facing. It says that he has faced everything that we face. He knows exactly what we're talking about. You know, when my mother passed away, my dad would have been about 58 or 59 years old. She died of cancer. Had been sick for several years. You know, the one thing that would really just irritate my father after the fact, and that is people would come up to him and they'd shake his hand and they'd look at him and they'd say, "I'm so sorry. I know what you're going through." He'd come home that night and he's like, "They have no idea what I'm going through. They're still sitting there with their wife beside them." I'm like, "Pap, you've got to take them for what they mean. They don't know what else to say. They're just trying to be helpful." But when Jesus says that he knows what you're going through, he means it, because he has gone through everything that we will ever go through and more. The Mennonite Confession of Faith, Article Number 4, says this: "As a fallen creature, man is self-willed, rebellious towards God, unwilling to yield to Christ, and unable to break with sin and under divine judgment." That is a man who has not been regenerated. That is a man who is not a born-again Christian. So as we look out at the world and we see the things that they do, those that are not believers, we can get angry with them, but more so we should feel sorry for them, because they don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to move forward, because they don't have that power that we have of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, living in and through us. Well, let's move on forward here quickly. Bitterness and overcoming, and how to gain freedom. One thing to do is take action. We have to take action. In Ephesians 4:31, it says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." And then it says, "Be kind and compassionate one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ and God has forgiven you." And then next we need to do is to let go. We need to release those that have hurt us. No strings attached. Just turn them loose. What it does, if that person that has wronged you is in the wrong, by you releasing them does not give them a clean relationship with Jesus Christ. What it does is it breaks that bond, that bondage that you're in, and it allows you to have that clean relationship with Jesus Christ. It means I'm not going to allow that to cling to me. I'm not going to allow it to control me. I don't want it to control me. But we have to turn it loose and let it go with no strings attached. Dying to myself, giving up my own rights. The Bible talks about following Christ and denying ourselves daily. Casting all of our care on Jesus. Casting would have the idea of to throw violently, like all this garbage, I don't want it. It's Jesus, you said you'll take it, and he will. Total dependence on the lordship of Jesus Christ to rule and to reign in my life. Granting forgiveness to someone, even if they don't ever ask you. Again, it has to do with clearing up my relationship with my Lord and my Master. And you know, we're all so familiar with the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." And listen. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive those." I'm getting new King James and the King James. "Forgive us our debtors." Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's King James. So, what I'm saying in that is, it says, forgive, O Lord, you forgive me as I forgive. What it's saying is, in everyday terms, is, O Lord, I want you to watch my life, dear God. And dear God, I want you to treat me the same way as I treat someone who wrongs me. That's all I ask. And if you do that, Lord, I know I'll be in good shape. That's what we're saying. That's what we're saying when we pray the Lord's Prayer. That you just watch my life, and however I forgive others, I want you to forgive me the same way. I think sometimes we'd be in pretty bad shape when if we really believe that prayer. If we can forgive as Jesus did, when he was on the cross, he would forgive them, for they know not what they do. It has nothing to do with the other person being right relationship with God. It has all to do with you clearing up your relationship with him. General Oberthorpe said to John Wesley, I never forgive and I never forget. To which John Wesley so wisely replied, I hope you never sin. We've got to forgive and we've got to forget. And when I say forget, we're not going to forget, because our minds are not made up that way. The hurt and the pain can dim, but there's so many things that when we're wronged, if we'd want to, we can bring that back up again. But it doesn't bring the pain. It's because it's like, no, that's under the blood. I've repented of that. I've released that person. What about me? Am I ever the source of someone else's bitterness? Let's not be the source of someone else's ability to become bitter. One way to, again, overcome and to not be the source of someone else's bitterness is watch this little thing that goes in and outside of your mouth, your tongue. And I'm talking to myself, because I can be so quick in making a remark that can be so painful, it can be so hurtful. And maybe I didn't mean nothing by it. But it also, so often, is like, it doesn't have to be said. But how often do we do that? We don't watch our words. James 1:26 says, those who consider themselves religious and do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, they deceive themselves and their religion is worthless. Doesn't mean that the ritual isn't worth much. It just says it's worth less. It's nothing. Ephesians 4:29, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Another way of overcoming. Be trusting of others. Think the best of what others have said to you. Assume that people say things for the right reason. And that's one thing, even with these little devices, you can get a text, and it does not display emotions. It does not give a tone of voice. And you can get a text, and you're like, wonder why he said that? Huh, wonder why she said that to me? Well, that wasn't a very nice thing. Don't assume some of those things. And that's sometimes what I hate about technology. But think the best of others, even in what they say. Here's a good one. Admit when you're wrong. Jerry, admit when you're wrong. Even when I'm just a little bit wrong, admit it. Like someone said, admit it and quit it. Admit it and turn the other way and say, I'm not going to do that again. Resolve to learn from your mistakes. How many years will I allow myself to waste in bitterness? How much regret do I want to carry at the end of the day, or at the end of the week, or at the end of the month, or at the end of the year, when those whom I struggle against might pass away, and I haven't had a chance to allow God to cleanse me before that. God does forgive, but our minds are such an awesome thing that we can't forget. But the forgiveness is there, but our minds still can remember. Are you carrying a load that's not meant for you to carry? Do you want freedom? Every one of us, that answer is yes. Of course we want that freedom. I'm just going to have each one, let's just bow our heads and you just pray to God and just allow God to work and to move in your life and ask Him to show you and to allow Him to even show you areas where you need change if you need it. I'm not saying you need it, but allow God to work and move in that. We'll just pause just for a minute or two.